come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, as we just get into your word, Father, I am thankful for your presence amongst us. I am thankful, Lord, that you have given us your word, that you call us, Father, to remember your word, to memorize it, to hide it deep in our heart that we might not sin against you. We are thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here, and that I just pray, Father, that we'd be so aware of your presence with us, and that we would not be, that we really wouldn't be shaken by things, and we really wouldn't be pulled away from any of these things, Lord. So we do thank you. I pray, Father, for your word to be spoken to our hearts and that we would be changed because of what we've heard. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in Psalm 119, verses 81 to 96 is what we're covering this week. And as I looked at them, I was so excited because I said something to Bill that he said, I never saw that before. What? And he said, yes, that is probably true. So yes. So what I saw is that this portion was probably written when the author, when David was in his older years, an aging saint. And this is why I felt that way. In verse 81, it says, my soul faints. It's been waiting a long time. In 82, my eyes fail. It's been a long time. When are you coming through? 83, like a wineskin in smoke, his body dried up by long continued affliction, shriveled, unkept by that affliction. 84, how much longer am I going to be here? I know there are some ladies that I know that are in their 90s and 100s, and they are asking that question. So that's one of the things that I based this on, is that they are asking, how much longer am I going to be here? I ask that occasionally. 87, they almost got me. 88, revive me. I'm tired of all of this. 89, your word is settled in heaven, and I see that as by experience. Your word is settled in heaven. Verse 90, I've seen your faithfulness endure to all generations. I've seen it happen. It's not something that I've just heard about because of long life. Verse 91, I've watched as the world moves through your faithfulness. I've watched you be faithful to us. 92, your law has been my delight. It's tried and it's true. Verse 93, I will never forget. So it says that he has lots of memories. I have more memories than I have future, no doubt. But this person says lots of memories. I will never forget your precepts. Verse 96, I've seen the consummation of all perfection. I got to be around for a while. You've got to be around to be able to see that and appreciate it. So that's what I base all of what I think of this being written in the older time of life for this person. In verses 81 to 88, it covers the uncertainty of life. And verses 89 to 96, it covers the certainty of God's promises and his word. There's a contrast between the two. 81 through 88 is the transience of troubles. The transience of troubles. We're just passing through them. Versus stability of his statutes. The stability of his statutes. And we start with verse 81, and it says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Now in Psalm 25:9, it says, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Genesis 49:18, Jacob is telling his sons what's going to happen in their last days. And he tells them, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. I have waited for your salvation. David's last words in 2 Samuel 23:5, he says, this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. Simeon, when he saw the baby Jesus in the temple, he said that he could depart in peace, for his eyes had seen God's salvation in Luke 2:28 through 30. He had seen God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so this salvation, I have, my soul faints for your salvation. I've been waiting to be with you. But I hope in your word. I hope in your word. How precious, how important is this piece of armor that we put on every day? We must have hope. We must have hope if we are going to continue on. In the darkness when I'm fainting to see, even then hope remains. In the darkness, when it's hard for me to see anything good, it is that hope that carries me through. When moments of peril are going on, hope holds out, my anchor is sure and steadfast. Hebrews, my anchor is sure and steadfast. And so we hang on to that hope that brings us to that place of salvation. And that's what we are hoping for. And verse 82, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Value the promise and trust the assurance. Value the promise and trust the assurance. Don't be discouraged by your present appearances. Don't be discouraged by what you're seeing and what you're hearing people say and do. Don't be discouraged by that, because the sunshine is behind the cloud. Yesterday it was raining. Thank God. Yesterday it was raining, and it was the best rain. It was just slow and steady, and it's exactly what we've been praying for, that it wouldn't be so much that it runs off. We got exactly what we asked for, didn't we? So anyway, I'm very thankful for that, but it was a really cloudy day, but even yesterday, the sun came out. So when you're in the midst of those places where there's darkness and it's overcast in your life, the sun will come out tomorrow. It may come out today. But just have that hope of God's salvation. Paul said, in these trials and afflictions, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. It doesn't matter. None of these things move me. Failing of our eyes is the impatience of the will. Failing of our eyes is the impatience of the will. Limiting God, Psalm 78:41. We limit God by our own time. We limit him by our own resources. We limited him by our own ways and our own means. It is that limiting of God that is spoken of in Psalm 78:41. Waiting time is a precious, precious time. It doesn't feel like that, does it? It doesn't feel like it's a precious time, but not a moment of that waiting will be lost. Not one second of that waiting will be lost. God uses it all. The blessing is going to be so much sweeter from being given it in the Lord's best timing. When we pray for things, God knows what's best. He's going to give it to us in his best timing. Even when, when the angel came in and he said three weeks or 3 days or how, Daniel, that, I thought it was Daniel, but I was afraid to say it. I'm a failure. It's a dark time in my life. Well, the sun will come out though. Yeah, but anyway. It's the best time. It is the best time for it to come to us, those things that we've prayed for. But if unbelief clouds our comfort. Turn your eyes simply on the Word of God. If unbelief clouds our comfort, just turn your eyes to God, to God's Word, as testifying of Jesus. We've got to look at Jesus in the midst of all of this. Here is the groundwork of our comfort. That's where we get our comfort for. And the more confidently we expect, the more patiently we'll wait. Is there anyone else in this room that feels like, I will never have patience again? My patience is on its last nerve. How many of us have said, I just don't have any more patience left? But when we put our trust in the Lord, we find our comfort in Him, we find that those patience are no longer, I'm not responsible for that, but God is giving me what I need to walk through all of that. He waits not because He's reluctant to give us, but that we may be fitted to receive. He waits not to keep us in discomfort, but that He wants to give us our request just at the appropriate time. Now in verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Here's a picture of misery. His patience, his hope, his body, every part of him that I've already said, it was dried up, it was parched, it was unsightly through waiting, but the hope remained. And yet how did this man of God behave when his soul was fainting? His hope in the Word kept him from sinking. It was his hope in the Word of God that kept him from sinking. It was his hope in that salvation. It was his hope in Jesus Christ coming that kept him afloat, because he did not forget God's statutes. When we don't give in the midst of our affliction by trying to make a way of escape, God makes a way of escape from sin for us. But he very seldom makes a way of escape from affliction, because affliction is at work in our life, like we talked about last week. It is at work in our life. Should we receive only the good from God and nothing of the hard times? When it says that we are to be the fellowship of his suffering, is that scripture not true because it's something hard for us? It's something that we've asked God to work in our lives, but when we don't try to get out of it, it's proof of the reality of God's grace in us and the faithful love, his faithful love toward us. Nothing honors God more than our enduring, overcoming faith that perseveres in spite of the oppression, in spite of what's going on in our lives, in spite of all of it. Romans 4, 18 through 20. You'll want to look it up later. Now, verses 84 and 85, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. How many are the days of your servant? When you're exposed to the lawless devices of the proud, remember that God in Christ is your stronghold. God in Christ is your stronghold. Psalm 71:3. God in Christ is your stronghold. Instead of taking vengeance into our own hands. Anybody else want to do that ever? Most of you don't ever want to do it, but I bet there's been an occasion where you have wanted to, I'm going to get back at that person. Or because of that situation, I feel that way about my cable service. I really want to get back at them. I honestly do, because they just, can you hold for 3 days, please? We'll be right with you. You are very important to us, but there is a 3-day hold, so just hang on. Don't lose your place in line. But yeah, instead of wanting to take vengeance into our own hands, we said it last week, 1 Peter 2:23, commit yourself and your cause to him that judges righteously. Commit yourself and your cause to him who judges righteously. We want to be in that place. However things go, this ought to be fixed in our hearts, that he that sits in heaven judges righteously, he executes righteous judgment in the best time for us. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us, in this world you will have tribulation. In this world you will have tribulation. In this world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The proud are digging their pits, but the Lord is their deliverer. The proud dig their pits for us to fall into, but the Lord is our deliverer. Verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help! That's exactly how I read it. Every time I read it, I was going, help! That's exactly how we pray. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help! There is nothing as dependable as God's word. There is nothing that is as dependable as God's word. He has said that he would rescue, that he would rescue the persecuted people, his persecuted people. When we are attacked by words that people say or things that people do, we do the golden prayer. And that golden prayer is, help! Just simply help. And God responds to that. We are best able to resist our enemy where? On our knees. On our knees. That's the best place to resist the devil, is on our knees. And even a little prayer on our knees. Now, you know what? I've heard all of the things, and I have no problem with it, about, you know, will you walk and you pray, or you stand and you pray, or you don't lay down when you're praying because you go to sleep, and all of these things. But there is something, and I don't know what it is, but there is something about getting on my knees that causes me to connect somehow with the Lord. And I don't know, an act of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. There's just something about getting on my knees. So we put on our shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. We fight the good fight, 1 Timothy 6:12. And we do battle on our knees. Now, verse 87, they almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Why didn't they quite make an end of him on the earth? Because the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his, or whose hearts are loyal. 2 Chronicles 16:9. He is searching throughout the whole earth for that, and he wants that for us. Satan wants to sift us. Every one of us. Satan wants to sift us. But we have in Luke 22:31-32, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Jesus is praying for us even now that our faith does not fail, that we don't fall down under that. The author says that he would rather forsake all that his heart holds dear on this earth than to forsake the precepts of God. Are we willing to do that? Forsake all that we have on this earth to have the precepts of our God. What would it take in exchange for him? Will the praise of people, would I exchange the praise of people for the goodness of God? How often do we do that? We exchange that praise of people for the goodness of God, to lose favor from God. Could I be content to forgo my greatest comforts to suffer the loss of all things? Philippians 3:8. Even life itself, Acts 20:24. Would I be willing to give up my life? I would like to believe that I'd be willing to give up my own life. Standing here, I could say, yes, I would be willing to give up my own life. But if that faced me, all I know is that God will give me grace for whatever he has called, anything he requires of me. He gives me grace to walk through. And so do we forsake any of that rather than forsake one of the ways of God? Would I give up everything rather than to forsake the ways of God? I don't know what I would really do, but this I do know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can even wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness if I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Now, verse 88, revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. We need continual reviving if we are to maintain that steadfastness in our life. I need continual reviving. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling really great, and so I think it maybe was the cloudiness. I don't know, but I just wanted to lay down. I just wanted to sleep. I wanted to put everything out of the way, and I needed reviving. How did I get revived yesterday? I got revived when I ate my chicken soup. And Jesus is that chicken soup in my life. When I need to be revived, I need to be strengthened, I need to have that healing happen. Jesus is the one who revives us, and we need to be praying for revival more today than ever before. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has revived us together in Christ. He has revived us together in Christ, Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. He is our source of life, hidden with Christ in God, which we talked about earlier, Colossians 3, 3. Hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Stir up that prayer on revival. Stir up the prayer for revival. I know the Pastor's Wives Conference this week was all on, not this week, it was, yeah, it was almost last month. Yeah. Anyway, it was on revival. And one of the things that Cheryl said is revival is messy. Interesting. Revival, we are praying for that revival. And self-confidence, though. When we depend on our flesh, self-confidence paralyzes the work of the Spirit, paralyzes our spiritual energy. Self-confidence paralyzes our spiritual energy. It is the Spirit that revives the flesh, profits nothing, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that revives the flesh, profits nothing. Now, in verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I love that. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And as I was going through the section of our text, that was the one verse I got stuck on. I wanted to spend all my time right there. Your word is settled in heaven. It is what it is. God knows what it is. And it talks about your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. For all are your servants. All of this world is in servants to God. All of the plants, all of the everything works just as it should work. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, it rains sometimes it doesn't rain. Everything that's needed for this world to continue works just as God planned for it to work, except for man, except for us. In Deuteronomy 32:6, it says, man is the child. Now, I'm not talking about man, okay? It's not just him that has the problem. We have the problem. It's us too, okay? But mankind are the child of his maker, Deuteronomy 32:6. They are, man is created in his image, Genesis 1:27. Man is destined for his glory, Isaiah 4:37. And man is the only rebel and revolter in the world. Can you see the animals doing something like we do? Your word is settled in heaven. It's raised above all the revolutions of the universe, and it remains as the throne of God. It is unshakable, and it is eternal. It is unshakable and it is eternal. The foundation, it is the foundation of our hope, and it is unalterably fixed. It is fixed. God knows everything. Now, I can be unhappy with him that he has let things happen in my life. I can be unhappy with that. I can do that if I want to do that. Well, if God knew, how did he let that happen to me? Again, am I willing to accept only the good from him and none of the rough stuff? So his word is fixed, unalterably fixed, from the eternity that's in the past to well into the eternity that is to come. Your word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Your word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Isaiah 59, God said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. What I've said, I have said, it's gone out. In Romans 14:11, this is what one of his words are, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That came from God's own mouth. That is one of his statutes. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. In affliction, you know, we try to help each other out, don't we? But we just don't really have the means to do anything besides just feeling sorry for them. We cry with them, we pray with them, but we're unable to speak to their heart. Unable to speak to the heart of someone else. That's what God does. Isaiah 40, verse 2. That's what God does. He speaks through his law. That's part of his voice to us. And so we need to know it. But in order to get support from the law, it has to be our delight. Is the law of God your delight? How can we delight in something that we don't really believe? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. What is that word, believe? Believe is cling to, adhere to, rely on. So if I do not believe his statutes, how can I delight in them? I delight that I have that eternal life because I believe what he said. I believe his statutes. And so we have to have that solid delight in what we do believe. It is a matter of our faith. It's a matter of our faith. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Psalm 119, verse 50, we went through that, I believe it was just last week, wasn't it? Your word has given me life. It is your word. It is your word, Lord. It is your word that has given me life. God himself is our source of light, the word of life. His word is an instrument to get through to us what he is, who he is. His word is reviving, Hebrews 4:12. His word revives us. His word melts us, Jeremiah 23:29. His word melts us. His word is attractive, Matthew 11:28. His word is attractive. With all of these things, with reviving and melting and attractive, it is beyond me that we can speak the word of God and there are still hearts that would harden themselves toward what God wants to do in our lives. Still, we will harden our own hearts and not allow the Lord to do that work. And so the author tells us how that it is with the word. So the leaves of the word of God are the leaves of the tree of life. The leaves of the word of God are the leaves of the tree of life. That's what he gives to us. The word of God is not, it not only lights our path that we'll get to in Psalm, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. It not only lights our path, but it supplies everything that we need to do whatever God's called us to do. It supplies us with all of it through his word. The words that I speak to you, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. So let's get busy reading our mail. Let's meditate on the word and let's memorize God's word. So how's the memorizing going? Going good? Everybody's getting it down? You're getting it in there? You know, I use the excuse, and it is a funny thing, that I have a short memory. It's not a funny thing that I have a short memory, but we plead that we have a short memory, so we can't memorize the Bible. But in our secular life, how comes that short memory works so much better? And we can remember other things in our everyday life that we need to do. Why do you think that might be? I am going to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. And I can only hide it there by memorizing it, by being in his word and putting it deep into my heart. Verse 94, well, I'm just saying on that, you know, I'm just saying. Verse 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The believer belongs to God. We belong to God. We are his property. 1 Corinthians 3:23. We are his portion. Deuteronomy 32:9. We are his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. We are the purchase of his blood. Old Testament and New Testament, the purchase of his blood. Psalm 74:2. Acts 20:28. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, the purchase of his blood. We are the triumph of his conquering love. The triumph of his conquering love. Isaiah 53:10-12. And into the New Testament, Luke 11:21-22. We are given to him by his Father. We are given to him by his Father, John 6:37. And we are preserved in him and called. We are preserved in him and we are called, Jude 1. So the evidence of the man's character is found in seeking the Lord's precepts. Our character is found in seeking the Lord's precepts. We're all characters, I know, but our true character is in seeking the precepts of the Lord. Whom we serve will prove whose we are. Acts 27:23. Whom we serve will prove whose we are. His servants you are to whom you obey. Romans 6:16. Bill's probably already just finished that, going over that. His servants you are to whom you obey. Whatever you obey, you're a servant to. And we need to remember that. Lord, deliver my feet from falling. Psalm 56:13. Deliver my feet from falling. Save me, Lord. Save me from the love of sin. Save me from the daily guilt and the power of sin. Save me from my own foolish heart sometimes. Save me, Lord, from all of this. And if there's anything else that's bringing me down, Lord, save me from it. Because I love you. I need mercy to begin with me. I need mercy to begin with me. How many times have I talked with someone else and they just don't show me any mercy? The person just doesn't show me any mercy. And then you're in the car with them and you see why somebody else doesn't share mercy with them, because they've shared no mercy of their own. Because I think that driving is a good example of who we really are. And I'm sorry to say that. But when we look at that other driver as someone who just wants to be better than I am, because he wants to be in front of me, or he shouldn't be in this spot, this is not his spot, this is my spot. Or he's going too slow, he's making my life miserable. I'm not willing to share any mercy with that person. And yet, when I need to get into a place in line, what do I want? Mercy. He won't even let me in. Reaping and sowing maybe kind of comes with that. I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring up driving as an example, but I honestly do think that it's a good example. Anyway, mercy begins with me. I need mercy to accompany me, and I need mercy to abide with me forever. I am yours, Lord. Save me. Help me and save me. Verse 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. In Daniel 6:22, my God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. I can trust in the Lord for that. The wicked waited for me to destroy me, but the lions just weren't hungry that night, because the angels of the Lord stopped him. We hear the roaring winds, we hear the storms coming in, but we hear also the voice of the Lord saying, peace be still, peace be still. Mark 4:39, peace be still. I heard that voice yesterday when I was just feeling like I just wanted to just do nothing and lay there and just, my first thought is I'm just lazy. But then the word of the Lord came to me, and he gave me some stuff yesterday because I wasn't doing anything else. Of course, now, I wasn't feeling good, so he made me stop so that I could hear. And I want to come to that place where I just stop and listen, where he doesn't have to do something to me physically that stops me. You'd think I'd learn by now, but I haven't. Anyway, peace be still, Mark 4:39. We are not afraid of the wicked. Our hearts are fixed, trusting in the Lord, Psalm 112, verse 7. The trust is grounded on the word of God and shows his power and all sufficiency. He tells us to rest in him. So whether I'm delivered from the wicked and live, I live to the Lord. And whether I am not delivered, whether I fall and I die to the Lord. But Romans 14:8, whether I live or die, I do it to the Lord. Whether I live or die, I do it all unto the Lord. Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Verse 96, I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 and 11, the person talks about, Solomon talks all about all of the things that he's taken part in, all the delicacies, all the wonderfulness, all of the things in his life, and he found them at the end of the day to be worthless, to be nothing but vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The world with its lusts and its passions are passing away. 1 John 2:17, this world is passing away. It's not meant to last forever. All the world can offer is simply a bubble or a shadow. Just a bubble. We live in a little bubble that can be popped at any time. At any time. It can all be over. Now contrast the emptiness of the world with the fullness of the commandment of God. Contrast the emptiness of the world with the fullness of the commandment of God. Our commandment is to love as Jesus loved. Love as Jesus loved. How can we measure that? It is immeasurable. We cannot measure that kind of love. If we have truly learned the exceeding height and breadth and depth of the Lord's love and of the spirituality of the law, of the love of God, our views of ourselves and the place that we're at are going to change. We're going to look at things differently. We're going to put off. So this is what we're going to do. This is our assignment, to put off righteousness by works and to put on righteousness by faith, because that's true perfection. Put off the righteousness by works and put on the righteousness by faith. That's what perfection is. So it's not by works of righteousness that I've done, but it is according to his mercy that he has saved us. And I am thankful for the word of God. I am thankful that his word is settled in heaven and we need not worry. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you have done a work that no man could ever do. Lord, that you have saved us. You have brought us salvation. You have given us a life that we are willing to make us willing, Lord, to put aside those things that keep us from growing, to do those things that are important, Lord, and to let go of the things that have no eternal value. They just draw us away from your precepts and your laws and your statutes. They draw us away from your love and from loving one another. Lord, help us to put them aside and to honor you in all that we say and do. We want to bless you, Lord. We want to give you all of ourselves right now, Lord. Right now, this second, we just say in our own hearts, all I am and all I have is yours, Lord. Deliver me, Lord, from that desire to grasp things that don't belong in my life. Strengthen me, Lord, to let go of them and to see you for who you are, to give mercy, to give away the same mercy that I've received. We love you, Lord, and we want to give glory to your name, and we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.